I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Dr. Stephen Lee from the University of British Columbia joins me now. He's on to promote a couple of appearances he'll be making on the Korean War. His talk, his talk is called The Forgotten War and Its Aftermath. It's part of the latest show put on by Screaming Weenie Productions. In November, they'll be presenting a new play, Falling in Time. It's by the playwright C.E. Gatchelian. Visit screamingweenie.com for more information on the show, which is a play set in Vancouver in 1994 and takes the audience back to the Korean War and explores themes of war, masculinity, sexuality, and more. Dr. Lee will be giving his talk as part of the show, providing context and perhaps deepen the engagement of the audience. Dr. Lee will be speaking next Wednesday, the 26th of October, at the Central Branch of the Vancouver Public Library downtown. That's at 7 p.m. And there will be a roundtable discussion Sunday, the 6th of November, at the Rhizome Cafe at 317 East Broadway. That's at 6:30. We'll get Professor Lee to preview his talk, the show Falling in Time, and remind us about the Korean conflict. Why is it forgotten? Stephen Lee is an associate professor of history at UBC. He's written a couple of books, one called The Korean War and Outposts of Empire, Korea, Vietnam, and the Origins of the Cold War in Asia, 1949 to 1954. Please welcome to the Planta Online program, Stephen Lee. Good morning, Professor Lee.
Good morning, Joe. It's my pleasure to be here today.
Thanks for joining us. So your involvement with the show, other than putting on these talks, is what?
It's mainly to provide some information to the public about the Korean War, to set the war in its historical context, and in that sense also to educate the public and at the same time to provide some publicity for the play.
Yeah, have you seen the play?
I haven't yet. I'm very much looking forward to seeing it. I will be there on the opening evening, and I've just very much looking forward to seeing it.
But you've heard, as I've read about the play,
yes,
that the Korean War features prominently in this.
Yes.
Have you talked to the playwright at all about what's in the play about the war?
Yes, I've spoken to Chris Gatchelian on a number of occasions. And basically, as you say, it's set in the Korean War. The title is Falling in Time. And as you said at the start, it's retrospectively thinking and looking back at the war from the point of view of 1994 Vancouver. It's a play which is sexy and funny, but also tragic. It's a play about war, about sex and love, but also about the redemption of forgiveness. So there's redeeming features in the play. It centers around the lives of four characters who are from different cultures, but also different generations, and their interactions between them. So that's the essence of the play, and I don't want to say too much about it, but want to entice listeners to go to the play itself.
Indeed, and so you're part of these ancillary events that are part of the production. Speaking,
yes,
as I said, at the public library and at the Rhizome. Walk us through this war. Why is it that we don't really know much about it? The premise of the question, I think, explains.
Yes.
You know that we need to get walked through it. It's not well known.
Sure. That's right. I mean, we also have to think about who has forgotten it, or who has forgotten what. I mean, to start with, I think, you know, it was a war which, in a sense, from the Western point of view, was very unprepared for. You know, if you think about Canada participated in this war, overall the period between 1950 and 53, Canada sent some 25,000 troops into Korea. Which is not an insubstantial number, actually quite substantive for the period especially. But Canadians were, knew very little about Korea at the time. The Canadian government itself, though it participated in the war, had very little in the way of diplomatic relations with Korea, with South Korea. It had been involved with Southern Korea through the United Nations in 1948, actually, the initial Canadian involvement in Southern Korea sparked a cabinet crisis at the time. because the Prime Minister himself didn't want to participate in a committee which would have overseen elections in Korea, because he thought that Korea might represent a place in the world where there might be conflict, and he didn't want Canada to be involved diplomatically in a place in the world where there was conflict, partly because of his concern about French Canada and English Canada and the history of wars and Canadian involvement in conflicts that might divide the country. So, I mean, in that sense, from the very beginning, Canadians didn't know very much, and I would say the West in general knew very little about Korea. Another important factor, which led to it quickly being forgotten in that sense, was the fact that not much longer after the Korean War ended, the world got involved in Vietnam in a major way, with the American escalation of the war in Vietnam. And to some extent, the concentration on Vietnam displaced the role that Korea had previously played in terms of providing some understanding of events in Asia to the world. And so, in that sense, the Vietnam War displaced Korea. And even in popular mythology and popular television shows, many of the listeners may have heard of MASH, may have watched shows about MASH, but in many ways MASH was more about the Vietnam War than it was about Korea.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, it never really had a prominent, sustained prominent role in the consciousness of the public. But in Korea, of course, it's a different story. So if we're thinking about the forgotten war, mm-hmm. amongst Koreans, Koreans cannot forget the war. It's indelibly inscribed in their imaginations, especially the older generations. The younger generation may not quite know as much, but older generations of Korea, the violence of the war, the dislocation of the war, huge impact on the society. And insofar as you can use the word forgotten, it's more forgotten that's caused by repression of memory than, a loss of memory. And in that sense, it's unspoken about, but never really forgotten. So, we have to also remember what we mean and who we're talking about when we're saying the Korean War is a forgotten war.
So back to Canada and our contribution there. You mentioned that there were 20,000 troops that this country sent there.
Yes.
I guess that's more troops than Canada had sent in Vietnam. Is that right?
Yes. In fact, formally speaking, Canadians did not send, the Canadian government did not send troops into the Vietnam War at all. And so official Canadian involvement in Vietnam was more through diplomatic channels. But there were some Canadians who did volunteer for the war in Vietnam by going into American armies.
Yeah.
But officially none.
So in terms of these 20,000 troops that this country sent, the casualties, you mentioned that it was a bloody war. Did we suffer in our ranks?
Yes. Several hundred Canadians died in the Korean War. When I say the number of about 25,000, that's over the period of the entire war.
Right.
But the Canadian military contingent came largely in the form of army soldiers within a Commonwealth Division, which was created early on in the war, where they participated in the conflict with soldiers from Britain, from Australia, from New Zealand, some from South Africa, and also an Indian ambulance corps, which provided aid, medical aid. So that was the sort of the military context for Canadian Army participation. But Canadians also flew, airplanes in the war with the RCAF, the Royal Canadian Air Force, and there was also a naval presence. Actually, the initial Canadian contribution to Korea came in the form of naval assistance and the Royal Canadian Navy actions in and around the Korean Peninsula at the time of the war.
Well, when you mentioned that, when you said earlier that this has been a forgotten war in this country, certainly.
Yes.
Who's responsible for that? Have we not done a good job teaching this in our schools?
I think today probably much better than in the past, but Asia has not always been very high in Canadian consciousness, just in terms of a focus that Canadians tend to have on the Atlantic world. On if we think about war in Canadian society, we think about obviously the First World War and the Second World War, which had tremendous impacts on Canada. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that sort of emphasis on the Atlantic world has resulted in some downplaying of the Pacific and Asia. But again, that's changing today. And I'm currently teaching a course on warfare in modern East Asia. It's fully subscribed. 40 students could probably, if we increase the size with maybe teaching assistants, it could be more. So I think that there's much more interest today in Asia than there was in the past. So things are changing. But certainly the government has not played very much a role, in talking about the Korean War. The veterans themselves, the Korean War veterans, are, I think, somewhat disillusioned with the Canadian government. A couple of years ago, I received a letter from one of the Canadian veterans of the Korean War, hoping to get a commemorative stamp passed for those veterans who had participated in the conflict, who had volunteered for the war. And, this was a difficult thing to try to get the Canadian government to see even the role of a commemorative stamp. So I think we still have a ways to go on these kinds of issues.
And we're going all out next year with regards to the War of 1812, so...
Yes, right.
The talk that you'll be giving at the public library next Wednesday, or Wednesday the 26th at 7 at the Central Branch, how long is that?
The talk will probably be about 50 minutes in all.
Yeah. And do you have a chance to talk to, like, do people get to pose questions, say, or
sure,
discuss?
Yes, that's why I want to keep it... keep the talk to less than an hour, so that people have the opportunity to raise questions about the war, about Canada's involvement in the war, any kind of question related to the talk, and give them an opportunity to hear more about their interests.
And then there's the round table at the Rhizome on November 6th. It's Sunday, November 6th, 6:30 p.m. You're involved with that. Who else is involved with that? Is that just more people can discuss amongst themselves?
Yes. Well, there will be a panel of four people. Don Baker, who is a colleague of mine in the Department of Asian Studies, who teaches Korean history, will be there. We'll have one person who was involved in the Korean Truth and Reconciliation Commission, who's currently working on campus at UBC, who will also be there, and one other woman who is doing work on Korean missionaries overseas. All of us will talk about the Korean War and its aftermath, maybe each of us talking for about 10 minutes on particular issues about the war and the post-war period, and then opening it up to discussion for people in the audience.
You mentioned this Truth and Reconciliation Commission in Korea.
Yes.
What's that involve?
Well, it was an investigatory body which was established a number of years ago. I don't know the exact year that it was created, but in the 2000s, to investigate issues about violence, retribution, about truth and reconciliation in Korean society, issues that had emerged from the war itself. So they investigated war crimes, for example. War crimes that were that occurred under the hands of South Koreans, that occurred in the context of American involvement in Korea. And some of the things that they have found and reported on, some things were already known to some extent. They've done archaeological digs about South Korean massacres in the Korean War, which were hardly reported at all, actually repressed for decades after the Korean War. a prominent one in southern Korea, as North Koreans were marching southwards. South Korean officials who had already taken prisoner South Koreans involved in protesting against the South Korean government, some of whom were associated with the Communist Party, but many of whom were not. They were taken into jail, and they were massacred in a city in Daejeon in July 1950. So the history of that and the people who were involved, there was at least one person who was still alive, an 85-year-old guard, who spoke about the killings of these political prisoners as the North Korean armies were advancing southwards. So that's one thing. And then also about American involvement in atrocities. For example, in a town, in a village near Nogunri in southern Korea, actually not that far from Daejeon, and also in July 1950, where they fired on a group of Korean refugees. So these kinds of issues which the Truth and Reconciliation Commission raised as part of, you know, the repressed memory of the Korean War in Korea, and some of the aspects of the war which were really not discussed or not even known about, or even reported incorrectly. For example, with the Daejeon massacre, the American ambassador at the time in Korea saying that this is nonsense and it did not happen at all, and it was reported as a North Korean atrocity. So these kinds of things, to try to shed light onto Korean history and, in a sense, reconcile the South Korean population at a time when there was some hope generated for reconciliation between North and South Korea coming out of summits in 2000 between the North and South Korean leadership. So it's very much rooted in contemporary history, but looking at the past and thinking also to some extent to other cases of truth and, well, there's only one really other Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and that is the one in South Africa. Mm-hmm. But there were other truth commissions that investigated these kinds of massacres and atrocities around the world. So South Korea's contribution to human rights discussions in the modern period, when it is now a modern democracy. Very interesting. So we'll have somebody talk about her experiences on that commission to the group that attends the Rhizome Cafe meeting.
Yeah. As a historian, how do you react to Remembrance Day? I mean, we're coming up to Remembrance Day, so
yes,
this is an apt sort of question.
What
do you think we should reflect upon in the sort of the Korean context?
Yes, well,
on November 11th?
Yes, well, you know, for the Korean case, and in fact all wars that Canadians have participated in, and all wars for veterans and civilians all around the world, I mean, what I remember is the fact that they were asked by their country to go into war and possibly commit violence. And, you know, that is very, very, I mean, that is heart-wrenching. And so to remember that they also lost friends, and the emotional challenges of dealing with war for them and for societies, that's what I remember when I think about Remembrance Day.
And do you think that the people, young people especially, you know, I'm just under 30. Do you think we're doing enough to mark the day, to remember to take the time out on the 11th?
Well, I think that we should do as much as we can to try to remember the wars, and to remember them in such a way as to try to prevent them, also from reoccurring, and being very careful about participating them in the modern context, I think there's always more that can be done.
Steve, I appreciate your time today for coming on to talk to us about this, I do advise people to go to the talk Wednesday, the 26th of October.
Yes. My pleasure, Joe.
You're very welcome. Central branch of the Vancouver Public Library. There's a roundtable at the Rhizome Cafe, 317 East Broadway. That's Sunday, the 6th of November, 6:30 p.m. Dr. Stephen Lee on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.